Hey everyone, Steve Adubato. This is Lessons in Leadership. My colleague and our co-anchor and executive producer, Mary Gamble, will just be with us in a bit. Right now, I want to introduce two leaders in the field of education and nursing that are making a difference. First, Cedar Wang, Vice President of Nursing, holy name, and also Maria Nadelstumpf, who is Associate Vice President, Rowan University, also Workforce Learning Solutions, Rowan Online. Cedar and Maria, great to have you with us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Cedar, talk about, there's a partnership. Again, someone says, oh, a hospital or hospital system, nursing, and then you got the higher ed community and Rowan, one of our longtime higher ed partners. What is the connection between Holy Name and Rowan, and what does it have to do with addressing a serious nursing shortage? Cedar?
Thank you, Steve. As you know, Holy Name has had a school of nursing for over 100 years. So we've been in the business of graduating nurses to fulfill the need in New Jersey for bedside care. We saw a great opportunity with Rowan University, given that our nurses and the demand now in the marketplace is for nurses to have bachelors of science in nursing. Our school has historically provided a diploma, which is a great entry into the profession and allows nurses to sit for the board examination and be licensed in the state of New Jersey. Rowan was able to work with us to provide a program seamlessly taking our graduates and putting them right into a bachelor's of nursing program in Rowan University while they're still working at the bedside once they achieve that license. Even more so, they were able to start providing coursework to our students while they're still at our school. So this, it was just the perfect opportunity to accelerate their careers.
And Maria, what triggered this for you as a higher ed institution? And we've had your president on many times. You should check out our website, Ali Hushman, on with us, your president, and talking about the world of higher education, evolving, changing, partnering. This partnership, what triggered it for you and your colleagues at Rowan?
Thank you, Steve. The partnership, the trigger with working with Holy Name, it's about merging the institution of academics and healthcare, looking for solutions together for workforce development. And that's ultimately the play for a university setting, is that we want to also join forces to be able to develop the workforce for New Jersey, particularly in nursing. So this was a perfect marriage with Holy Name.
See, to go back, let's go back, because I mentioned the nursing shortage. Put this in context. Let me also disclose Holy Name, a longtime underwriter of programming at the Caucus Educational Corporation. Cedar, help us on this. I mentioned the nursing shortage. How serious is it? Put it in context.
Yeah, it is very serious. We are running, New Jersey especially, has a drastically, rapidly aging population, and we need healthcare providers to care for them. We are seeing nurses graduate and leave the state, but we're very committed to providing the best jobs here in a competitive environment and keeping our nurses here in New Jersey. We have some great programs. We are one of the only hospital-based schools of nursing left in the state. We see that as a great asset in that we are very quickly able to ramp up people that want to be nurses and in 2 years get them out into the field. But we also see the need and the demand by the marketplace to have that degree, that and college degree.
Sorry for interrupting, Cedar. And so, Maria, the pipeline, if you will, the pipeline of future nurses is not currently what it needs to be. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say. Yes, Steve.
Okay, so if someone watching right now and they're thinking about a potential career, and they hear about this partnership, this collaboration between a higher ed institution and a healthcare organization, what kind of person do you believe, from your educational experience, from your experience in workplace development, what kind of person is the kind of person that would do well in the field of nursing? Maria?
If someone who's going to do well in the field of nursing, it's someone who is obviously looking for care. They're a caring person. They're mission oriented. And with this partnership with Rowan, as well as with Holy Name, looking for pathways and access and career development, someone who has that initiative to take the ownership of their own professional development. So this partnership allows to do that, these career pathways, it's accessible, it's online, and this is going to help someone get through the door and a good kickstart for them to get started in this career for nursing.
Cedar, you and I have had this conversation offline about leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious about this leadership in nursing. To what degree do you believe that the vast majority, the significant majority of those who go into nursing are natural leaders, meaning you'd have to be a leader of some sort to want to even be a nurse in the first place? Please, Cedar.
That's a great question. And I think it speaks to the nursing process, the detail-oriented nature of a nurse that is required to be able to see a person and identify, oh no, I need to call the doctor. You know, something's not right with this person. So there is that innate ability to be able to assess and respond. And I think that's where we start with leadership, right? We need to be able to read the room. We need to be able to then also take action. So that's extremely important for a nurse. And I think someone that has that aptitude is naturally drawn to nursing because of those key elements that they need to be able to execute in order to be a nurse. And then hopefully we can, even through this program, continue to develop those qualities so that we can make not only great nurses, but great leaders for the profession.
Along those lines, Maria, in the curriculum, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds, but I always wonder about this. I talk to physician leaders all the time. And I ask about medical school. Well, in medical school, aren't there courses in leadership, management, and communication? No. Well, how do you learn? Well, on the job. And Cedar's laughing because she has been through this and knows exactly where I'm going with this. To what extent, Maria, can a curriculum, a nursing curriculum between these two organizations incorporate, or is it implied, leadership and communication and the kinds of skills needed to be a great nurse leader? Too loaded a question, you tell me. I keep thinking about this because I do think, I'll get off my soapbox, I do think leaders, nurses are natural leaders, but I wonder to what degree it can be taught in this program.
Great, it's a very great question, Steve.
And I'm not saying there's an easy answer to it. I'm thinking about it.
I think the Holy Name is an exceptional school of nursing. They have a wonderful nursing program. We're growing online through our access and through our programs that we're able to provide access, but also for folks to be ready to get out into their careers. And in terms of practicality, you know, being a leader, it's definitely something that I would say some would say you're born with, some would say it's teachable, and some would say you really need to be able to be bedside. You need to be able to work with others, and our programs together through Holy Name and through Rowan, through the curriculum, has capabilities to get people ready to go and to be in leadership positions.
See, geographically, Rowan down South Jersey, Holy Name up North, is it remote, Cedar?
Yes. So yes, it is a remote program. The students that obviously they're on campus with us in Englewood Cliffs. That is where our Sister Claire Tynan, Holy Name Sister Claire Tynan School of Nursing is located in Englewood Cliffs. And the courses that they take with Rowan are online. And many of them are asynchronous, meaning that they can be done on their own time so that they can manage a good work-life balance.
And that's so important because you talk about balance, but people trying to, families and all kinds of issues they're dealing with, time management becomes critical. By the way, also go on our website, steveadubato.org, and past interviews. I mentioned the president of Rowan, Ali Hushman, also with Mike Marin, the president up at Holy Name. To Cedar, to Maria, cannot thank you enough, both of our longtime partners. We wish you all the best because the nursing profession. Listen, I know there's like Nursing Week and everyone celebrates, and I'm wondering, why aren't 52 weeks a year Nursing Week? I mean, when can you stop thanking our nurses? Cedar and Maria, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, Steve.
Marie's right there. Mary and I will be right back right after this. Stay with us. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the North Ward Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
At Delta Dental, we do more to make benefits easy to implement, use, and understand. It's why businesses large and small trust us to keep their employees smiling. Year after year, we make our clients and members happy with unmatched expertise and great dental benefits. We apply our decades of experience to give you more guidance, providing plan design options and cost-saving measures. With reliable support for you and your employees, we make administration effortless and free up your time so you can focus on other business needs. We even do more for vision care with Delta Vision. Choose Delta Dental and discover what the power of more can do for your business and your employees.
We're now joined by Joe Maloney, who is the president of the Sports Betting Alliance. Joe, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Tell everyone what the Alliance is. We have the website up now.
Trade advocacy organization representing the top five online sportsbooks and online casino game operators throughout the country. We operate in 31 states, legal, regulated sports wagering and online casino. Our members are Bet365, Fanatics, DraftKings, FanDuel, and BetMGM. Three core objectives for our trade advocacy organization, Steve. We try to expand the map of legalized jurisdictions for sports wagering. We try to expand the map of legalized jurisdictions for online casino games. And then in jurisdictions where these products are already legal, we really try to describe the benefits of legalization and the importance of growth and innovation in these regulated frameworks.
Let's talk about jurisdictions. What exactly are the laws around legalized sports betting in New Jersey?
Really the vanguard of legalized sports wagering, particularly with respect to online and digital gaming throughout the country. The state of New Jersey moved before anyone else did with online casino games back in 2013. And it's really a credit to the elected stakeholders at that time who pursued this avenue, which was basically delivering consumer protections for New Jerseyans throughout the state, as well as delivering some important tax revenue. What happens when a jurisdiction decides to legalize online casino or then ultimately legalize sports wagering? They're not inventing gambling, of course, Steve. They're deciding to legalize it, to regulate it, and to tax it. And there's two really important factors into that. One, consumer protections, age and identity verification, responsible gaming tools, advertising restrictions as well. In the illegal and unregulated market, they pay no heed to those types of requirements. They don't subscribe to any type of data privacy standards. They don't guard any of the important information that is shared. They don't verify age and identity, and they certainly do not comply with federal anti-money laundering regulations that exist in Washington, D.C. What's important to remember as well is when you legalize and regulate a product such as gambling, as the state of New Jersey has done for many, many years now, you actually now have the opportunity to tax it and generate revenue that can go to any number of critical priorities in a given jurisdiction.
So, hold on one second.
Sure.
Are there separate federal laws around sports betting, legalized sports betting, and different sports betting laws in 50 different states?
There are different sports betting laws in 50 different states, and that's a result of the Federal Wire Act, which prevents interstate activity when it comes to activities such as gaming. However, there is compliance at the federal level for anti-money laundering.
Which agency does that, Joe? Sorry.
Department of Treasury and a subset agency known as FinCEN. So they actually ensure that anti-money laundering laws are being adhered to and provide that transparency. So when someone commits an amount of money to wager in a casino setting or in an online gaming setting, we actually have to verify age and identity as well as the financial institution information upon where that deposit is being made from. That is all information that's actually shared with the federal government.
Wow. Let me ask you this. I'm curious about this. So your alliance represents the casinos as well as the five largest sports betting operations, right? You said the casino, not casinos, but casinos who have online gambling, right?
Yeah, the five largest legal regulated sportsbook operators and iGaming operators. So BetMGM is one example of an entity that is a joint venture.
Well, the MGM, it's a casino.
Of a large land-based casino, correct.
Yes. Oh, but here's what I'm curious about. So when we hear about a sports betting scandal, right, in the pros, you know, again, look it up. You don't need to hear from me. There have been scandals where athletes, sometimes coaches, folks who have information, bet themselves or give that information, particularly when it comes to these so-called prop bets, not even the outcome of a game, not even covering the spread of a game, who's favored, who's an underdog by how many points, but whether so-and-so is going to get two hits, three hits, strike out four times, whatever. But they have inside information. How the heck, and what is your alliance's responsibility, if any at all, to protect against that?
It's a great question, Steve. And the answer to that is quite simply, you cannot police what you cannot see. Legalization is affording collaboration and coordination with law enforcement and regulators and legal sports books like never before. So while we read about these sports scandals and we hear about them, and the director of the FBI stands in New York with the U.S. attorney and announces a series of indictments against NBA coaches and players, what's important to remember is that sports books are the forefront of that information sharing, of that identification of the abnormalities and the anomalies and betting patterns that actually foretell that there could be an integrity risk here. And that's called integrity monitoring. States like New Jersey require all licensees to commit to integrity monitoring, to sharing information around abnormalities and around anomalies that exist with betting volumes. So the compliance steps in and says, we are seeing an abnormal amount of activity on a specific type of prop. That information is shared with an integrity monitor. An integrity monitor is taking all of this data across all licensees. They're observing these patterns in real time. And when they see or detect an abnormality, that information is shared with the league.
So hold on one second. I'm going to try to break this down. We happen to be taping this program. It'll be seen later, right before the NBA Finals.
Right.
You can see my Knick basketball, right? So an abnormality. So if you see a disproportionate amount of betting on, let's say, one of the Knick players who averages 20 points a game, 15 to 20 points a game, that he would score less than 6 points. And you see a ton of action, as they used to say in my old neighborhood in Newark, New Jersey, betting action on that player not scoring more than 6 points. Who says what to whom?
So all of that type of activity is captured, and that's the benefit of legalization. We can observe betting patterns because nobody wants to be a victim of fraud in this instance. And so when there is significant exposure in an unexpected type of manner, these are all data patterns that can be observed. And those data patterns not only can be observed within one regulated licensee sports book, but that information is required by law to be shared with integrity monitoring tools so that it can be observed
shared
across multiple licensees.
Joe, shared with whom?
These are companies such as Genius Sports, Sports Radar, IC360. These are specific integrity monitoring partners that in many instances the statute demands licensees work with. Why? Because we have official data feeds that come from league partners to Wow. ensure that there are no betting discrepancies so that we can actually police this activity. A league would then conduct an investigation based upon the knowledge of some abnormalities. And if they determine there to be Wow. an actual criminal wrongdoing, they call law enforcement. And what happens after that, Steve? Law enforcement calls the members that I represent and they collaborate Wow. and they coordinate. So the most probably timely example we have is 2 years ago. A very outsized bet with a new account holder was placed on a bench player on a two-way contract. That player was Jonte Porter. The sports book immediately yeah. flagged that activity, shared with the league. The league conducts an investigation. And then we obviously have indictments handed down and a judicial process begins. We are in a deterrent phase. Let me be clear, Steve. We are in a deterrent phase right now. There are rules. There are policies. There are systems in place now for leagues, executives, club staff, trainers, family members to be aware of. If you do this and you break these rules, you will get caught.
Hey, Joe, this is an ongoing situation. It's complex. It's multifaceted. This is the first of many segments we'll be doing around sports betting and the larger implications in society and the role of government or not, et cetera, et cetera. Joe Maloney, president of Sports Betting Alliance. We kick off that programming, which I know will make a difference. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. All the best.
Please call me anytime. Thank you to Mary as well.
Yeah, Mary Gamba, who is our executive producer and helped make this happen. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague Mary Gamba has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media. Mary Gamba is back. For those of you who worried that I was going to do the program by myself, Mary's back. Hey, Mary, we have taped a whole bunch of these mini lessons in leadership seminars, and right now we're going to do one that we've been threatening to do for months.
Promising.
I'm going to call it.
We'll say promising. Right? We'll say promising to do for a few months, not threatening.
Yeah, that too. So how about it? We're calling it Cut the Qualifiers and Fillers. Cut the Qualifiers and Fillers. People are like, what? What's he talking about? What does it have to do with leadership? Mary, if our daughter, Olivia, is 15, and I say, Olivia, tell me how practice, she's field hockey, how practice was, or your son, Joey, great actor, just graduated, right?
Mm-hmm.
NYU. How was your test? Or how was it? Like, it was really great. Like, it was kind of sort of, you know, it was like really terrific. And, but, you know, it was like, kind of, sort of, maybe, you know, possibly, they're qualifiers. What's up with the qualifiers?
They are so distracting, number one, because once you zero, it's like you can't unhear them, like you can't unhear them. And I did that intentionally. And when they are used, they make you believe that that person is not as confident about what they're about to say. And it makes you question, okay, why do I want to listen to this person? If they're using all these extra words, are they really sure of what they're saying? Are they not sure? Or even worse, did they just get into this habit of communicating that they think it sounds pretty cool to use?
They can't hear it.
No.
Mary, they can't hear it.
They can't hear it.
And here's the other thing. Ums and ahs. Well, like, you know, and then he said, those are not even words. They're not qualifiers. They're called fillers. You're filling space. Are fillers. So these are the keys to cutting out your qualifiers, like, you know, kind of fillers, to be a more intentional, impactful leader and communicator. First bullet point. Here we go. Ums and ahs. They're not words. They're stalling techniques, Mary. What are we stalling for?
People don't like the sound of silence. They want to, instead of just letting it float and not saying anything, they feel like they need to fill that time. And part of it, I believe, and I am using that intentionally, is because they're afraid that if they don't start speaking, someone else is going to speak over them, or potentially, they may believe that you're not that confident in what you're saying because you're not able to respond quick enough. Instead, if you pause and have a little bit of silence, it will make that person lean in and care about what you're going to say a lot more.
You know, the irony of what you just said, at least for me, is that the greatest public communicator of all time, at least the way I've studied public communicators my whole professional life, in my opinion, the greatest public communicator is Dr. Martin Luther King. If anyone ever really were to, and go ahead, go on YouTube, watch Dr. King. He uses pausing as an incredibly powerful tool to not just allow himself to think about what he wants to say and to create anticipation and excitement, enthusiasm for what he's saying. It lets what he's saying sink in. Pausing is powerful. So the next bullet point here is slow down and pause. Stop speaking so quickly, because Mary, when we speak so quickly, we fill in kind of like, you know, sort of, because we're speaking quickly, our brains and our mouth, they're not in sync. Slow down. You have to work on that as well.
I have to work on that. I believe that because we are from New Jersey, the New York, New Jersey area, everybody talks fast. We listen fast. We want things done quickly. Whether you're driving, getting things done, you're placing an order, you don't want to wait for anything. And I feel that we communicate in that same way. And that does create a lot of dangers of not being understood or using those filler words that are unnecessary, for sure.
Third bullet point. Be more intentional. What? Yes. Actually think about what you're saying, why you're saying it. And if you don't know what you're saying and why you're saying it, be intentional about being quiet.
Yeah.
You don't
You know
have
how hard
any.
that is? It is so hard for people to be quiet. They feel like they need to be heard. They feel like they need to speak in order to be relevant. Sometimes just don't say anything, and that's more powerful.
But if you do speak, how about you take a second or two? Because our brains work very quickly. We always say this, and I say this in a lot of seminars. Our brains are a lot faster than we think they are. Ask yourself, what do I need to say in this moment? What is the best way to say it? There's no perfect way to say it. But if you take your time to be more intentional, you'll begin to cut out these qualifiers and fillers because you're more clear on what you're saying, why you're saying it, and what you're looking to accomplish. Trust me, if you do the likes, you know, kind of sort of, yeah, you do that enough, as Mary said earlier, so well, you will unintentionally communicate that you don't know what you're talking about, you're not that confident, and frankly, people begin to tune you out sooner or later. Next one, Mary, how about this one? Anchor your message. But Mary, how the heck can you anchor your message if you don't even know what your message is?
Well, and we will revise that bullet. It should be identify, know, really just make sure you know what your message is and then anchor your communication in that message. Because
Well,
if
how
you
about
have.
this? How about this as a bullet point? Have a message or a point. If you don't have a message and you don't have a point, now why are you laughing?
Don't speak then if you don't have a message and you don't have a point.
But Mary, I want to distinguish this. This is not the same as talking to your friends or family members and you're just BSing and
Sure.
shooting the breeze. You don't have to have a point. I mean, it'd be nice,
It's
but
kind
it's
of
not
nice.
critical. However, in a business professional setting, you're not just talking. You ever hear someone say, "I was just talking." Yeah, we know. We don't know what you were saying. Stop talking if you don't know what your message is. Final point. Be concise and Mary. Dot, 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 land the plane. What does this have to do with planes?
If you're in a plane, we've all been there, and you're just circling around Newark Airport and you're not landing and you're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting. It's very frustrating. As communicators, if we just spin around our main point, if we just spin around and never get to that punctuation mark at the end of that sentence, you need to land that plane, finish what you're saying, and hit that home run.
And Elvin, our director, just said you have 30 seconds left. So here's, I'm going to land the plane. If you hear yourself talking and talking and talking, and you're not sure how to land the plane, it means you've been talking too long. And just say, I'm done. That's it. I've landed the plane. And Lessons in Leadership is over. And you're smarter because you just went through another Lessons in Leadership mini seminar. I'm Steve Adubato. That is Mary Gamba, who's slowing down her speech pattern every day and getting better. Oh, I get it. Alvin, land the plane, please. See you next time. This edition of Lessons in Leadership is made possible by the Buccino Leadership Institute at Seton Hall University, Prager Metis, Valley Bank, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 825, NJ Transit, the North Ward Center, O'Toole Scrivo, Gingoli Construction, the New Jersey Sharing Network, Delta Dental of New Jersey, The Helix, Fedway Associates, Inc., the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, Choose New Jersey, and Seton Hall University, inspiring great minds to greater purpose since 1856.
This is Mary Gamba. If you want more leadership tips and tools, log on to stand-deliver.com. That's stand-deliver.com.
Promotional support for this edition of Lessons in Leadership with me, Steve Adubato, and my colleague, Mary Gamba, has been provided by NJ.com, NJBIA and New Jersey Business Magazine, CIANJ and Commerce Magazine, and the Meadowlands Chamber and Meadowlands Media.
At Delta Dental, we do more to make benefits easy to implement, use, and understand. It's why businesses large and small trust us to keep their employees smiling. Year after year, we make our clients and members happy with unmatched expertise and great dental benefits. We apply our decades of experience to give you more guidance, providing plan design options and cost-saving measures. With reliable support for you and your employees, we make administration effortless and free up your time so you can focus on other business needs. We even do more for vision care with Delta Vision. Choose Delta Dental and discover what the power of more can do for your business and your employees.